Beloved radio friends, we welcome you to the closing message of the week from Psalm chapter 2, where we have been studying that messianic prophecy concerning the coming again of our Lord Jesus and His blessed coming millennial reign. We read the psalm again, trusting that some of our friends will have their Bible open and read along with us. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers, they take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder, and let us cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen or the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed or happy are all they that put their trust in Him. May God by His Holy Spirit bless the reading of this section from His precious word, Psalm chapter 2. Once again, for the closing time, we present to our listening audience a fourfold division of this wonderful psalm. In the first section, verses 1 through 3, we have been listening and meditating upon the voice of the nations in their worldwide agitation, worldwide imagination, worldwide amalgamation of universal consultation, a worldwide insurrection against Jehovah and His Christ, the Messiah. We've also listened to the second voice, God the Father, verses 4 through 6, that He is the one in the heavens who has divine dominion over all, and of His divine derision at the plot and the purpose of mere man, and His divine displeasure in which He will vex and pour out His wrath upon those who so rebel against Him in that coming day. But His divine decree, "I will make my son to be my king, and I'll place him as my king over all the earth." We had the privilege in our preceding message of listening to the voice of God the Son, verse 7 through 9. That divine Son, unique relationship, the one who is the uncreated and the eternal Son of God, but who uniquely is called as being begotten. Surely, God says, begotten Son He is, but in relation to His resurrection from among the dead, He is the rightful King who has by Himself purchased through His sacrifice the right to be acknowledged and to be set by God as the King of all the earth. And the earth will be His universal possession. He will subjugate it by His power. Ah, may I say, my beloved, the world will never be brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ by preaching. We are certainly not making any progress in that direction. It's rather retrogressing. But when the Lord Jesus comes in power, manifesting His authority, exercising His dominion, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that He is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He will be the ruler over all the earth. But now we come to the closing part of our psalm, the last three verses. The Holy Spirit's voice. Let me read the words of verse 10, 11, and 12. And here you can recognize in view as to what has preceded. How necessary is this exhortation? Be wise now. Wait not for the time to come that has been revealed. Wait not for that moment of divine authority and dominion that will be exercised. Wait not for Christ to come with a rod of iron. Wait not for the time when he will dash the nations in pieces. But be wise now. Therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. O my beloved, what a blessed exhortation this is. Oh, that men and women would listen to the word of God. Oh, that men and women would give heed to the warnings of the word of God. The coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. The power that he will manifest to destroy the nations, set up his own earthly kingdom, rule from shore to shore, and every knee bow to his authority. That moment is coming, my friend. And it's wise for anyone, for everyone who will, to be instructed as to what they should do. Whether they be kings, whether they be the judges and rulers of the earth. Note the divine instruction, the divine admonition. Serve the Lord with fear. Be afraid of him. And rejoice with trembling. And my beloved, when you read what has preceded in this psalm, surely as we recognize the visitation of divine judgment that is to come and sweep over and upon and through all the earth, it ought to strike fear and should bring to you as well as to me the divine exhortation to serve the Lord and do it with reverential fear and in his presence to rejoice, but to tremble. Far better to tremble in the presence of God now than to tremble when he comes in power and judgment to do away with the ungodly and the sinners. My beloved, let me say, you may find men today that will defy God and say, I'm not afraid of him, but I want to tell you one thing. When they stand before him, they will tremble. Now is the time to tremble. Now is the time for men and women, boys and girls, to be afraid of the coming day of judgment. Can I give a personal testimony? It may fit in with someone listening. Why did I come to Christ and receive him as my Savior? And I'm going to tell you bluntly. It was the fear of hell. I was afraid to die and go to hell. For I knew I had never taken Christ. I knew my sins deserved eternal punishment. And I want to tell you very frankly, as one dear brother asked me many, many years ago, he said, Brother John, what brought you to Christ? What made you take Christ as your Savior? I thought very quickly of that time when I knelt as a poor sinner and came to the Savior. And I answered my friend and said, Brother Luther, I must confess it was the fear of going to hell. My friend said to me, I've asked many Christians that question, and most of them give the same answer. Not always the case, I know. But I want to tell you, we're living in a day when men ought to be afraid of going to hell. And if I'm speaking to an unsaved sinner, I beg of you, let the Spirit of God put the fear of God and the fear of hell into your heart and into your soul. Be wise. Tremble before him now. For if you never tremble before him and come to the Savior, just as you are a poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, you will tremble at the judgment day. But note the admonition, an admonition of reconciliation. Note these precious words in verse 12. Kiss the Son. Now, beloved, look, there you can see very plainly three words. Kiss the Son. To whom should you go to be reconciled? Through someone who can bring you to God. There's only one person, and that one is Christ. God gave Christ to reconcile the world to himself. And through Christ we preach the ministry, the word of reconciliation. And figuratively, if not literally, but in heart, surely, when a sinner comes, as a sinner should, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way to God, It's reconciliation. Kissing the Son. Falling at His feet. Now I want to tell you, there was a dear sinner in Luke chapter 7 who wept at the feet of the Lord Jesus, who washed His feet with her tears, who wiped His feet with the hairs of her head, and who kissed His feet ardently again and again, and who wiped them with her hair, and then anointed those feet with the ointment. My beloved Lord, get down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Kiss Him. Say, Lord Jesus, Your blessed feet were nailed to the cross of Calvary to save my soul. For there on that body, on the tree, God put upon Him Your judgment and mine, that believing You might be free. Oh, take the admonition. Kiss the Son. Why? Lest He be angry and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. My beloved, I beg of you, fear the wrath of the Lamb. Fear the wrath of God. Fear the wrath of the coming Savior. For when He comes to judge the world, 'twill not be to save. He came the first time to save it. Well, did He say, I came not to judge the world? He came not to judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But when He comes again as the King, the Messiah, in His messianic glory, be too late to kiss Him. He'll be angry. You never came to Me. I bid you. I invited you. I died for you. I offered to save you. And you have to perish. And My wrath is kindled, even though a little. But note the closing words. Blessed are they, all they that put their trust in Him. We close with the invitation, dear friend. Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus? Jesus, I will trust Thee. Trust Thee with my soul, guilty, lost, and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven nor on earth like Thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. Beloved radio friend, if never you have, do it now. Kiss the Son. Bow and kneel at His feet and say, Lord Jesus, I will trust Thee. Father, by the Holy Spirit, sanctify the truth to the salvation of precious souls. In Jesus' name, for His glory, amen.